Okay, let's talk about the Eight Sahara. That guy. Yeah, that guy. Obviously, there's so much to say. We're going to try and keep it to, I don't know, half hour, 40 minutes. We'll see how long this goes. Not meant to be the only things that Chazal say. Obviously, this could be like a week. I mean, we'll see what we say. And then you guys obviously can ask questions. I feel bad. I feel like Leia asked for this topic last week, and now she's like on a plane somewhere. But all right, hopefully she'll be listening. If you're listening to the recording, so shout out, and we'll see you next week. Okay, Mesilas Yesharim says again, no chidushim, that throughout a person's life, Yetzer Hara is always there. It's a constant battle, every single second, every single moment. Gemara calls him the Yetzer Hara. He's the Satan. He's the Malach HaMavis. He is our greatest enemy. He knows us better than we know ourselves. Moshe Aaron Stern, who's Mashgiach in Kamenetz a while back, it safely printed Feldheim called From a Pure Fire, which I enjoy very, very much. So we'll take a couple snippets from there. He just says that's what it means when in Pirkei Avos, when it says Aveira, Goreris, Aveira. That when the Yetzer Hara sees a person is lacking in some area, so he immediately uses that knowledge to trap him in that area, right? Like he knows us so well, that's why it's so frustrating fighting him. And he says the mashal is that the Yetzer Hara is like a general, right? Constantly trying to discover his adversary's weak points, adjusting his strategy, etc., etc. Yetzer Hara is rough, and we need strategies to combat him. So let's talk about it. We know again where do we see the Yetzer Hara, right? So already in Chumash, right? We may not pay attention when we read it, but there are sources in the Chumash that talk about the Yetzer Hara. The beginning in Parshas Bereishis talks about him straight out. We're going to talk about a couple different scenarios, situations where the Chumash talks about him. For example, the pasuk says by Cain and by Hevel, right? That when Cain and Hevel were fighting. Right, and not, even before that, though, right? When Hevel offered a korban and Cain offered a korban as well, Hashem was happy with Hevel's korban, not Cain's. All right, so the pasuk says, "Vel Cain avel mincha solo sha'a." Right, va'yichal Cain ma'od va'blu panav. Cain got upset that Hashem accepted Hevel's korban and not his own. So va'yomer Hashem el Cain. Hashem said back to Cain, "Lama chara lach va'lama naflu panecha? What's so bad? Right? Why are you so upset? Halo imtetiv says, right? If you improve." So then you will overcome, you'll prevail. From low tative, but if you don't get better, right, la petach chatas rovetz, right? Sin crouches at the door, at the opening, right? Elecha so, right? Its desire is directed towards you, shalbo, and you can control it. It's a very, very underrated pasuk, right? We kind of skip over it whenever we're talking and kind
Wait,
of
can
like
you read
thinking
that
about
into
things.
English?
If you get better, you can carry, say it, you can carry it, you can defeat it. If you don't get better, La Pesach Chatas Ravetz, Sin Crouches at the Door, right? It's an amazing book by, I don't know if you know, the founder of Aleph Beta, right, of the Reform, and is a book called The Beast That Crouches at the Door. He uses that pasuk to kind of frame the entirety of Sefer Bereishis, right? Definitely pick that book up if you can. And then while you're at it, buy my book also. No, I'm kidding, kidding. Can't help it. Yeah, no. So basically, the pasuk says straight out, basically that sin crouches at the door and its desires towards you, right? But you can overcome it. Again, the Torah literally frames this battle with the Yetzer Hara from the beginning. Another source is again, this is not explicit in pasuk, but it's talking about a war and a milchama. But at the beginning of Parshas Kisetze, all the Hasidic Rebbes say that it's referring to the milchama of the Yetzer Hara. Right, pasuk again, Parshas Kisetze at the end of Sefer Dvarim, right? Kisetze milchama leivecha, you go out to war against your enemy, and again, this is Shalom and others. I say it's talking about your personal enemy. Your meeting the Yetzer Hara, Unisano Hashem Elokecha b'yadecha v'shevitza shivyo, and Hashem will give him over into your hands, and you will take captives. Again, the Chassidus Rebbe is over there talk about how that's referring to the fight with the Yetzer Hara, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu was telling that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to give us the Yishmaya, right, and help in overcoming it. And again, just to, well, Hashem does give us help. The Gemara says in Kiddushin Daf Lamed, we've quoted this before, but we'll quote it again very quickly. The Chachamim Chazal tell us how terrible the Yetzer Hara is, right? The Chachamim say Hashem calls it, even Hashem calls it evil. Rabbi Yitzchak says it renews against us every single day. Rabbi Shimon ben Levi says it intensifies us against us every single day. It seeks to kill us. And if Hashem would not help us, right, we would not be able to overcome it. And finally, the Gemara ends off with the famous line, Barasi Yetzer Hara, Barasi Torah Tavlin, right, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the Yetzer Hara, and he created the Torah, right, as an antidote. So we know there's a fight with the Yetzer Hara, right? Nothing we can do, right? That's the fight of our lives. It'll be a fight for the rest of our lives. So let's figure out some tactics and some advice how to fight against them. The first thing to do is to chazer a little bit how spiritual growth works. And again, we've done this before in seminary, but it's good to chazer. Mostly based off of if I say it a little unclearly, or if I say it a little quickly, this is basically the first chapter in Thinking Jewish Teenager's Guide to Life by Rabbi Akiva Tatz, based on Rav Dessler's stuff, etc. So basically, Tatz points out as follows, that we all have free, meaning what is growth? What is spiritual growth? When we talk about I'm going to grow, I'm going to accomplish spiritually, what does that look like, right? Very hard to concretize that. It's not always so easy to have a real understanding of that. So, what does that mean? So, Rabbi Tatz explains as follows: that we all have bechira chafshis, we all have free will, right? That we know. In what realm is that relevant, right? Is that talking about the free will to pick what color ice cream you want or what flavor? Obviously not. Just like an animal chooses what to eat, so too we can choose what to eat. That's not what we're talking about. Free will, bechira chafshis, right, is relevant in the realm of morality. When we choose good over evil, because otherwise that's not uniquely human, right? That's just animalistic, right? So each person has certain choices that they make, right? When they choose good over evil, or Chas Shalom, the reverse, right? And obviously, sometimes they choose good and sometimes they choose evil, and that's what we're talking about, right? The Yetzer Hara is trying to trap you. Not Yetzer Hara is not trying to get you to pick chocolate, right? Over vanilla is getting to you to try and choose evil over good, right? And so explains it by Tats that each person has their own battleground. Each person has their own point of choice, right? Where free will comes into play, right? Some things are too hard, some things are too easy. But anywhere that you could choose point A and point B is within your realm of choice. Again, just to clarify, right? Again, a person has this kind of like sliding scale, as it were, right? Two lines. Things below the line, right, are too easy. That's not considered a test. Like murder. For example, you don't consider that a test, hopefully, right? You don't ever, are faced with a desire to murder that you would ever, Chas Shalom, act on. Maybe get upset at your roommate or your siblings, but not obviously not, Chas Shalom. And that's below the line. Above the top line are things that are too hard, right? Things that you don't even consider them to be tests, like controlling their thoughts. Right, controlling your thoughts about, I don't know, maybe Lashon Hara sometimes, right, is above the line. Things you don't even, you can't overcome them, right? That's not even considered to be a test. But in between those two lines, right, is where you struggle, right? So for someone, let's say, struggling with kashrus or whatever, right, when you, if that person refrains from eating treif, or let's say they refrain from eating McDonald's, whatever, for breakfast, right? So that is called accomplishing spiritually when they choose good over evil. And then the sliding scale moves up, right? The more you accomplish, the more, right, you do, right? It becomes easier, for example, to not eat McDonald's the next time, right? Once you accomplish once, right, the next time is easier, and the next time is easier still, until finally it's not even on your radar anymore, right? And then you move on to harder and harder things, and again, it slides up and down. Like, for example, example I always give is something for me, for men anyway, is tzitzis. But that used to be something that used to be very difficult. It's very annoying. It's hot. It's just an extra layer. And now I don't even think about it, right? When I just part of the whole routine, just throw it on in the morning, and whatever. That's called spiritual growth, right? You move on from certain tests, and then you move on to harder ones, right? And we move up, right, in difficulty, right? Like a baseball player starts at college, he goes to single A, double A, triple A, finally makes the majors, right? That's the place where he is where he's struggling, and that's where your point of choice is, right? And hopefully we're hoping to defeat our Yetzer Hara, right, in that realm. Now, why relevant for us? Why are we starting with this? Because as Rabbi Tatz points out, it's very important to note that just like your good and your accomplishments grow, right, a person's evil also grows, right? When they accomplish, let's say the McDonald's example, if they you know, the first time he's able to eat kosher in the morning, that's amazing. Second time, a little bit easier. Third time, a little bit easier, to the point where he's not even thinking about eating treif, right, for breakfast. Well, just like a person, and he moves on to harder and more difficult situations. So just like a person's Yetzer Tov grows, right, by definition, his evil, his Yetzer Hara, has to grow as well. Because otherwise, right, you have a guy who could play in the majors, but he's playing Little League, right? That doesn't make any sense, right? Obviously, the more you accomplish when you get better at basketball, you move, or baseball, whatever sport it is, right, you move higher and higher, right, into greater competition, right? So too, right, with our Yetzer Tov and our Yetzer Hara, right? The potential, right, for good is so much greater, right? But the risk is also so much greater because the Yetzer Hara has grown with you. And therefore, you again, just because it has to be 50-50, otherwise there's no Bechira Chavshis, right? There is no free will, right? If one is stronger, right, than the other. So just to answer the question, if everybody, the way they phrase it, if you were to wonder who has a greater Yetzer Hara, right, you or your shul rabbi, right? So the answer is 100% the rabbi of your shul. Right, even though you think you're a bum and you think he's a great tzaddik, right? He has a much greater Yetzer Hara than you do, right? Because again, by definition, if his Yetzer Tov is greater, right, and his Yetzer Hara is greater as well. Now, again, without going to the whole schmooze about free will, because that's not necessarily our schmooze right now. But we are at again. Okay. Just very quickly, we'll just mention quickly again the outside conditions where you were born, how you were raised, educated, etc. Right, don't affect your ability to choose. Right, the bottom line is at the point of choice, wherever you are on the sliding scale. Right, you have 100% the ability to choose. And again, for our purposes, again, with the point we're trying to emphasize is without, going into the other shmooze about Bechira Chavshis, and maybe we'll do another shiur on that or whatever if it's necessary to review. But for our purposes, that the Yetzer Hara is always strengthening himself against us. Right? We are never rid of him. In fact, we're hoping that he grows, because when we grow spiritually, he grows in power as well. This is how HaKadosh Baruch Hu set up the world. Right, there is no outrunning him. Right, it's not a thing. Right? We hope that he grows in strength, because that means that we have grown in strength against him. So let's talk about some of the methods that the Yetzer Hara tries to get us, and what he does. And again, the goal of this is not to list every single situation. Obviously, the Yetzer Hara is cunning, and he will adapt. But it's not an all-inclusive list. But the goal is to help you start or continue, probably rather, because you probably started already in seminary, to help you continue to recognize the Yetzer Hara's attacks in life, right? To be able to step back from a situation and be like, this is the Yetzer Hara. Now, you won't always be right, and you might only realize retroactively, right? But at least you're on the lookout. Right, at least you're on the lookout, and you're living life in that fashion. So let's dive into it. Mankind's first encounter with the Yetzer Hara, that is in Sefer Bereishis, right? Obviously, Adam and Chava, right, encountering the Nachash. Now we're gonna read through it. All right, it's a little bit long. I have it open in the Chumash here. I'm just gonna read through it. We're not gonna use the text the entire time, but I just want to remind you of what the Torah says. The Torah says that the snake was the smartest and the most cunning of all the animals. And then Vayomer El Ha'isha Af Ki Amar Elokim Lo Tochlu Mikol Eitz Hagan. He shows up and says to the woman, "What's up over here? Right? What did Hashem say? You're not allowed to eat any fruit?" So Chava says, "No, we can eat from all the fruit." And we pray to Shepherds of Hagan, Amar Elokim, right? Lo Tochlu Menu Lo Tigubo, right? Pentimusun. And Chava says, "No, we from the tree in the middle, right? We can't eat and we can't touch the tree." So the Nachash, the snake says to the woman, "Lo mos t'masun, you're not going to die, because Hashem knows on the day that you eat from the tree, your eyes will be opened, you'll be like God who knows good and evil." Right? The woman saw that the tree was good for eating, and it was a taiva for her eyes. It was wonderful, right, to be for wisdom or something. The tree was, desirable for wisdom. And she took, right, from the tree, right, and she ate. Now, I heard the following shir, the following idea, from actually a Rav who I don't know. A Rav, I was once again, is just Erev Shavuos, right? Shavuos in a couple of days. So I was once in Lander College for men, right? Yeshiva, Lander Yeshiva. On Leil Shavuos, I was learning in Queens, and I just walked over there, and I just sat in a chabura, and a rav gave this amazing shiur, and it was so amazing that I remembered it even without writing it down, which is a chiddush. And then I heard later on from one of my rebbeim, Rav Avram Willig, and he said it was accurate, and he added one more step to it. So, whoever told me this, God bless you, because it was really, really amazing. He says the first time we see the snake and the Yetzirah, the Torah is analyzing this and laying it out for us in terms of what the Yetzer Hara does, right? How he attacks us in a general level, on a general way, every single time, right? We're approached with an Avera. The first thing he does, right, is a discussion of terms, right? Notice what the snake, what the Nachash does first. He simply engages Chava in conversation. He says, "What halacha are we dealing with? What did Hashem say about this tree? What does Hashem say about this fruit?" Right? That's the first thing the Yetzer Hara does. But that's the first. When Rechav is like, no, this is halacha, etc. That's the first thing the snake does.
Wait, sorry, could you clarify that into like a line so I can write it down?
Yeah, and Pasuk Aleph, Perek Gimel, Pasuk Aleph. It says, but did Hashem say you're not allowed to eat, right, from any of the fruit? And then the woman says, right, Chava says back to him, no, we're allowed to eat from all the fruit, right, Pasuk Beis, you're allowed to eat from all the fruit, but Pasuk Gimel, right, from the fruit in the middle, the fruit in the middle of the gan, that I'm not allowed to eat, and that I'm not allowed to touch. Good.
So
As he says
he's,
that.
what's he doing? He's like trying to like connive her. He's just asking her questions.
Yeah, he's just engaging conversation. He's like, all right, what halakha are we dealing with? All right, what's the sitch? How's it going? What are we talking about? Right, that's the first, Robin Willie pointed out. That's the first thing. What Chava should have done, she should have not engaged in conversation, just left and ran away. Okay, whatever. That's not as relevant. You'll see in a second that the next couple of points are more important. Right, so Chava says, okay, we're dealing with this halacha. You're not allowed to eat the fruit. You're not allowed to touch a tree. Okay, and what happens if you touch a tree? Because we're going to die. Most tumusun, right? We're going to die. Pen tumusun. Tumutun for all the Sfardim in attendance. Okay, so the first thing the snake hears that, and then he gets to work, right? He says three things. He says, first of all, lo mot tumutun, right? Lo mot tumutun, you're not gonna die. Good. So the first thing that the snake does, first thing the Yitzhar does, right? He disputes the halacha. He injects a little bit of kfira, heresy, whatever you want to call it, right? However you want to be dramatic. He says, you're not really gonna die. It's not, come on, it's ridiculous. It's not really usur. It's not really punishable by death, right? Death, come on, it's a piece of fruit. You'll be fine. Right? The first thing he does is he puts that little doubt in our head as to, is that really usur? Really? Tying your shoes in a double knot? Come on, give me a break. Right? It's not such a big cover. But a little seasoning in the cholent, it's okay. It's not such a big deal. As an aside. Not always usher to season your cholent, but all right, whatever. We're not going to do that now. Okay, whatever. So, and then he says it's not really true. So he starts with a little bit of kfira, starts a little bit of apikorsis. Then he says, "Ki yodei Elokim biyom achalchem imenu v'nifkuchu reichem v'yisem ki Elokim yodei tov v'ra." Because the reason he says, the snake says, the reason Hashem ushered this fruit is because the day you eat it, your eyes will be opened and you'll be like God. The second thing the Yetzer Hara does is he injects a little bit of gaiva, a little bit of arrogance. You could be like God, right? Who is Hashem to tell you what to do? You're just as important as he is, right? If you do this avera, you determine good and evil. You could be like God. Why should you listen to Hashem, right? You could be v'yisem kilukim yodei tov v'ra. You could be like Hashem who knows good and evil. That's a little bit extra. He gives a little bit of gaiva, a little bit of look at me. I don't want to listen to Hashem. Who am I? Who is he to tell me what to do? And finally, number three. Right? He injects a little bit of taiva, a little bit of ta'ava, a little bit of desire. Right? He says, right, what's the pasuk say? She saw that the tree was good, right? And it was desirous for her eyes. The Yetzirah automatically adds a little bit of extra desire in what to whatever thing you're dealing with, right? At that moment. Right? When the guy, to use our example about the McDonald's, yeah, in the morning when he wakes up. He's not necessarily thinking about breakfast. But when he is thinking about breakfast, you have a little bit of extra desire, a little bit of extra taiva, a little bit of something, that bacon cheese McMuffin, I don't know, whatever people eat, I don't know. So you have that little bit, you're not thinking about it necessarily beforehand, but when you're dealing with the Aveira in question, there's a little bit of more desire, a little bit harder for you to let go that you didn't have 5 minutes ago. Right? You weren't thinking about that Lashon Hara, right, until you saw your friend you don't like walk past you or something. Right? The Yetzer Hara increases the desire for the Aveira in question. Now, it is interesting to note, I don't know what you wanted to make about this, but it is interesting to note that those three tactics, right, that increases, right, that kfira, a little bit of RP courses, a little bit of that's not true, that's not really usser. It increases the gaiva, the arrogance, who is Hashem to tell me what to do, and increases the taiva, the desire, right, for the such an avera. It is interesting to note that those three things parallel, right, the big three, right, the big three that you're not allowed to do if, right, if someone puts a gun to your face, right, you have to take the bullet, right. Then what's the big three averas? There's avodah zarah, shvichas damim, gilui raos, right. There's idol worship, right, a murder and adultery. Right, so idol worship, avodah zarah, that's kfira, that's apikorsis, courses, that's heresy. Right? Murder, that's the highest level of arrogance there is, right? You're literally deciding whether this person lives or not. Right? That's playing God, that's quite literally. And obviously, right, adultery is entirely taiva and desires. I don't know what to do with that, it just is interesting. But that is three tactics that the Yetzer Hara does. And those are three things you can look out for, right, when you're dealing with a situation and you're able to recognize that the Yetzer Hara is trying to get you in something. Now, once you realize, how do you fight him? So again, we'll go through other tactics and other things that happen. But just for this, very quickly, right? For those three things, how do we fight the kfira, the apikorsis, right, and the taiva and the gaiva? Rhymes, okay, pretty good. So there's no great chidushim, no great innovative ideas that I'm going to tell you in a second. You can probably guess what I'm about to say. To fight the kfira, to fight the when the Yetzer Hara says, nah, it's not really usser, right? So to fight that, right, we need to study Torah, right? To be clear in our knowledge of Torah. If you know the halacha, there's no way for the Yetzer Hara to dispute what's true. Right, if you know it's usher to double knot your shoes on Shabbos, so when the Yetzer Hara says, no, it's not really usher to double knot, you just learned it 10 minutes ago, or you learned it last week in Hilchos Shabbos, you're positive that it's usher, right? There's no room for the Yetzer Hara to say, it's not really true. That's not really the halacha, because you know the halacha, right? So that's very helpful, right? If you have your halacha clear in your head, right, then the Yetzer Hara doesn't have the opening to say, it's not true, it's really mutter. No, you know it's aser, right? You know the Torah, you know the halacha. As if you eliminate his ability to kind of refute the Torah in that whatever realm you're fighting, so the Yetzer Hara can't get you that way. So furthermore, again, that's outside of the Barasi Yetzer Hara, Batsi Torah Tavlin, right? Without the fact that the Yetzer Hara is defeated by the Torah, that the Torah is the antidote against the Yetzer Hara. That's aside of the fact. Number two, right, to work against, as you might imagine, to work against gaiva and taiva, right, arrogance and desire, right, a person needs to work on their midos, right? They have to study Musar, right? You have to learn Mesiyas Yesharim, Orchos Tzadikim, Shmir Salashon, right? All that type of stuff, right? To have a steady intake of Musar, to have a Musar Seder once a day, a couple times a week, right? That obviously helps a person focus on fighting their natural tendencies, right? If you're able to humble yourself, yeah, if you're able to have humility, right, and to eliminate the extra, taiva or gaiva, whatever that may come your way, right? So then obviously he doesn't have those avenues either. So again, if we're meticulous in our Torah study, right, and you have time to work on your midos, and you're able to work on your midos, so then those are your weapons to fight against those three things when the Yetzer Hara comes to increase our arrogance, comes to increase our desire, and comes to tell us that, oh, it's not really true. It's not the halacha. The halacha you're dealing with is not what you think it is. Because that's basically what he said, right? He said to Chava, what did he say? Chava, what's the deal? Chava's like, we're not allowed to eat. We're not allowed to touch. And he's like, not correct, right? And the Medrash says that he shoved her against the wall, the tree, and see, oh, look, you didn't die. So it must not be true, right? Okay, so if we're clear in our Hilchos Shabbos and whatever, in our halachos, right? So then he doesn't have that available to us. Okay, let's talk about other tactics. Those are like general, right? Just things to work out for. But let's talk about some other, a little bit more specifics. The Yetzer Hara doesn't get us to sin directly very often. Very often, the Yetzer Hara is unable to get us, right, to sin directly. He has to work on other areas and get us, kind of like in other certain ways. And suppose, I mean, he's not going to get you to just bow down to avodah zarah. Right, that's already the Gemara. We'll quote the Gemara a little bit later, right? But the Gemara, you're not gonna be able to do avodah zarah, right? He's not gonna be like, all right, Buddha, forget Hashem. It doesn't start with that. Right? He starts with much smaller things. And we'll get to that Gemara in a second. But first, that's the Pasuk says in the beginning of Parshas Re'eh, right? Re'eh Anochi Nosein Lefneicha Mayom Bracho Klala. Right? Moshe tells Bnei Yisrael, behold, see, right? I have presented for you today, right? A blessing and a curse. Right? And it says, again, it says the word today a couple of times, right? Again, that's how it illustrates what the blessing is, that you should listen to Hashem, right? And the curse that you should not, if you don't listen to Hashem. But it says the word Hayom two more times. It says today, 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 right? And the Slonim Rebbe points out that the emphasis of today, right? That when the Pasuk emphasizes, right? The bracha of listening to Hashem today, as opposed to the curses of not listening to Hashem today, is that the mitzvah of Zrizus of. And Mesillas Yesharim translates it terribly as alacrity, but it means getting up and doing things right away. When a Jew is faced with an opportunity to do a mitzvah right away, right, very often the Yetzer Hara will kind of trick him and be like, just do it later. Right? Don't, I'm not telling you not to do it. Just do it later. Right? And all of a sudden, the mitzvah doesn't happen. And so Moshe was saying to them, when you're faced with an opportunity to do a mitzvah, right, don't listen to the Yetzer Hara to do it later, do it right away. I just to give one of a million examples. I remember when my landlord, like 5 years ago or something like that, was sitting shiva for his father. He lived down the street, and I kept on pushing off a visit, not because I didn't want to go, just because you listen. There's always an excuse, right? And when I finally got around to paying a shiva call, he had already gotten up. Right, it was the morning after he'd gotten up on the last day. Lo, you should know about it, but the last day, you just this is just chakras. In the morning, and they get up, and then there's no more Shiva. So I basically showed up at like 11 o'clock on the last day. I didn't know. I just miscalculated, and I missed it. When you feel an inspiration to do something, right, don't delay. Right, the first thing the Yetzer Hara will get you to try and do is not to get you not to do it. It's to get you to push it off, right, to a point where you're not as motivated or you're not as inspired. Again, he's not telling you not to do it. He's just like, all right, just don't do it now, do it later. Right? You're pumped and ready to go, and he just tells you to wait a little bit. It's not that important, etc. Right? So don't listen to him. Right? Don't let, the Yetzer Hara delay anything that you're interested in doing. Right? And as the Nesiv Shalom points out, he says that added injection of holiness, right, brought on by inspiration, that gets weaker over time. Right, as you guys know, right? Inspiration is fleeting, but that's but Nesiv HaShalom frames it as an injection of holiness, and he says that that injection, right, just like any kind of not I guess not vaccine, but anytime you take medicine, right, it wears off, right. So the same thing, right, by this extra holiness. So Moshe is saying, Bnei Yisrael, these brachos and klalos, right, do it right away. The bracha is that what I'm giving you right now, right. If you delay, right, the curse is that the inspiration and the holiness. And the holiness dissipates, right? It's crucial to grab onto the moments of inspiration, right? And don't let the Yetzer Hara let you push things off, because very often, right, those things, right, don't happen. And as you might imagine, right, there are many things. Again, you've heard these phrases before. The Chazal have many different ways to reinforce this exact idea that you should not delay doing a mitzvah. Right? The Mechilta tells us in Shmos, right, that a mitzvah haba liyodecha al tachmitzena, that a mitzvah that comes to your hand, don't let it become chametz. What's chametz? It doesn't mean chametz. It means that chametz, right, to become chametz, you need 18 minutes. Right? So don't let right, the mitzvah become chametz. Don't let the mitzvah delay. Right, the Gemara says in Nazir, Daf Chav Gimel, right, La'olam yaktim adam l'dvar mitzvah. A person should always get up and be the first to do a mitzvah. The Gemara says in Psachim Daf Dalet, right, Zrizim, again a phrase you've heard, Zrizim makdimin l'mitzvos. Right, people who are proactive about doing mitzvos, they come early, they do them right away. The Gemara says in Brachos and Davav, La'olam yaratz adam l'dvar mitzvah. A person always should always run to do a mitzvah. Now, before you think I'm this great, amazing Talmud Chacham, I didn't compile this list. It's Mesillas Yesharim compiled this list in Perek Zayin, in the Perek about Zrizus, about being proactive about doing mitzvos, right? So I just borrowed it from the Ramchal. But nowadays, with all the distractions available to us, right, the Midah of Zrizus is so crucial, right? There are so many distractions, right? If you have an opportunity to do a mitzvah, right, go and do it. I would argue that people, again, it may not be true, but I would argue that most of the people who do not accomplish spiritually are not less from. They're just slightly lazier. That's what I would argue, right? They're a little bit more distracted by their phones. They're a little bit more distracted by this friend and that thing. They skip this the class and they come late for that shiur. They miss this minyan, and all of a sudden, maybe you're not going to shul on Shabbos. Maybe you're not coming to the online shiur or whatever. You're listening to the recording. Maybe you just missed the recording. Okay, you don't know whatever it is. All of a sudden, those tiny little lazy steps, all of a sudden. But you're a different person. And not because anything they did consciously, it's just a little bit of extra laziness. And I would argue that that's the difference between people who are matzliach and in general. Obviously, there are other reasons, but in general, the people who are matzliach spiritually are less lazy or are able to overcome their laziness as opposed to their friends who are just kind of slightly more like, I'll just stay in bed. I'm just not gonna do that chesed. I'm just not gonna deal. So that's what Moshe said at the beginning of Parshas Re, right? That the moment of inspiration, right? There's not a moment to waste. Again, the Yetzer Hara is trying to get you not to not do it, but just to push it off to the point where later you'll be like, I don't really care. That's A. Or I guess D, depending on how we're counting. The Yetzer Hara, along the same lines, Gemara says in Shabbos and Daf Kuf Hey and Nida and Daf Yud Gimel, again, as we mentioned a few minutes ago, the Yetzer Hara does not get someone to fall off a cliff, right? No one is listening to the Yetzer Hara to go bow down to Buddha. Right? It's a progression. And the phrase in the Gemara is that first he gets you to do this, then he gets you to do that, and before you know it, he gets you to worship Avodah Zarah. Now, that's a fascinating Gemara, but again, super important for us technically right now. The Yetzer Hara starts small, right? He doesn't start big, right? And not, at least not on purpose, right? The Yetzer Hara is not going to convince you to cook on Shabbos. He might get you to not do like a Derabanan, right? Or he may make you like lazy enough to not care, like if you're not sure what the halacha is or whatever, and like some scenario, it's a minhag, it's a derabbanan, it's this, that, there are opinions this way and the other way. Like, he's going to start small. But yes, one thing leads to another. And before you know it, as we said before, right? Avera gerera severa. So you can't let the Yetzer Hara in a crack. Or you can't even, unlock the door for him, right? He's going to kick the door down if you give him an opening, right? If we think, again, a human nature, we think the little things don't matter. And they don't, obviously, as much as the big things. But the little things is all the room that the Yetzer Hara needs. And that's where Moshe Aaron Stern points out that the Chafetz Chaim once came home, found his home torn apart. So what happened? And his wife said the cow that they owned came in and knocked everything over. And he said, I understand, isn't the door locked? And he said, we must not have latched it properly. And then he quoted that pasuk of sin crouches at the door, right? You leave it open a crack and the Yetzer Hara will kick it down. Moshe Aaron further quotes a Medrash in Bereishis Rabbah that describes how the Yetzer Hara attacks us. The Medrash there says, in Bereishis Rabbah, Perek Chav Beis, Rabbi Tamachon Bar Marion says that there are dogs in Rome who know how to deceive people. What happens? Again, it's a mashal, but you can imagine. The dog sits in front of a bakery. The baker has 100 loaves. And the dog wants one loaf, right? One loaf of bread. And he knows that if he tries to just go take a loaf of bread, the baker will beat the heck out of him. So the dog pretends to sleep, right? So the baker lets down his guard and ignores him. And then instead of going for the bread, the dog overturns the entire table and all the loaves of bread go everywhere. And the baker runs up and says, oh no, the dog's gonna steal all the bread. Meanwhile, the dog takes one loaf and runs off. And the baker says, whew. Baruch Hashem, I outsmarted that dog, right? He wanted all the bread, and he only end up with one loaf, and I saved the rest of it. What's the best line in movie cinema history, right? I would argue, again, there are many movies, and I probably haven't seen them in the last 20 years, but there's a line from a movie called The Usual Suspects. If you never saw it, it's unbelievable. And the line is, the greatest trick the devil ever pulled is convincing the world he never existed, or something to that effect, and convincing the world he didn't exist. In our context, we know the Yetzer Hara exists, but we don't necessarily know what he wins, and we don't necessarily know what he's going for, right? Because sometimes we say to ourselves, we beat him, right? We didn't do the big Avera. But really, all he wanted to get was the little Avera, right? Really, all he wanted was the small little victory. That's how the Yetzer Hara works, says Moshe Aaron Stern. He asks for a lot, right? And then we compromise, and then we pat ourselves on the back, right? Thinking that we beat him, right? We are the fools. We are the baker. Right, Yetzer Hara only wanted a small thing. Now, fascinating parallel. If you've ever read Art of the Deal by Donald J. Trump, so I've never read it, but apparently, again, I've read a little bit, right? I've heard, seen snippets. If the snippets I've seen online are true, you never know. Maybe I should check. But basically, this is how Trump, apparently, this is how Trump negotiates, right? He starts off with something crazy, right? Something people never even thought of. And then when you negotiate down, he gets what he wanted all along. Like when he says things like Canada is going to be the 51st state. I would argue there's no way he actually thinks that's going to happen, but he wants something else. I don't even know what. I'm not even following so much, but he says crazy things like that. Like, we're going to relocate all of Gaza. Maybe he means that. I have no idea. But very often he says these crazy things because then, well, if you start there and then you negotiate down, then he gets whatever he wanted at the outset. Whereas if he would have said what he wanted at the outset, he would have had to negotiate down from that. People don't understand this, think he's crazy. He as an aside, he might be crazy, but that's not what he's doing, right? And that's what the Yetzer Hara is doing as well. Not to compare Trump to the Yetzer Hara, I don't, that's whatever. But the whole idea is that the Yetzer Hara very often tries to get us to something, to do something strong, to do something small, as opposed to something big, and we have to be on guard for that as well, right? We have to not think, oh, it's not such a big deal. It's just a Darabon, it's just a minhag, it's just a this. Now, the Medrash continues, and it says. Gives another mashal, which is also very important to point out, that Rabbi Abba says that the Yetzer Hara is like a weak robber who sits at a crossroads, who says to everyone who passes, "Give me all your money." Now, everyone assumes, says Rabbi Abba, that if the guy is the Yetzer Hara is sitting at the crossroads out in public without any, fear whatsoever, he must be very strong. He doesn't seem to be afraid of everyone, so everyone just gives him all his money. One smart guy realized, says the Medrash, one guy realized that this robber wasn't strong at all. So he started just beating the heck out of him. So too, says the Medrash, the Yetzer Hara defeated many generations from Adam until Avram just showed up and beat the heck out of him. What is that? What does that mean? So Rosh Maharshar and Stern explained as well that the Yetzer Hara creates an illusion. We think we can't beat him. He creates an illusion that he is strong and really he is weak. Right? All we have to do is just get a little bit of strength and a little bit of anti-laziness, whatever it is, then get up and beat the heck out of him. Right? Because we can defeat him. Right? We think that we can't. We think that it's too hard. We think that things are difficult, but really we can. Another aspect of the Satan that you may not think about is afterwards. Right? We think of the Satan, the battle with the Satan, as before. Something happens. And anyway, we have a fight, and either we succeed and we don't succeed. So I heard from Ravisha Königsberg, who lives here in the neighborhood, he's one of my Rabbeim Shonabet, a fascinating vort by Parshas Chayei Sarah. The Pasuk says, right, Vayu Chayei Sarah, Maya Shana Ve'Esrim Shana Ve'Sheva Shanim, Shnei Chayei Sarah. These are the years of Sarah, right? 127 years. These are the years of Sarah. So again, without quoting the Rashi, this is Chachamim and the commentaries over there. Basically, how did Sarah die? So you guys are familiar, right? That the Satan, I get this Medrash says, the Satan came and told Sarah about the Akedah, and then she died. And it made it look like, right, Sarah died because of, she heard about the Akedah, and boom, and she dropped it. So the problem with that, that's what Rashi says, I think. There's a Rashi. So the problem with that is that that Sarah was a greater Navi than Avram, right? The Pasuk says, Kol asher tomar eleha Sarah shma bekola, when by Hagar, so. Kosh Baruch Hu told Avram, listen, everything that Sarah says, you should listen to her. And Rashi there says that Sarah was a greater Navi. So what does it mean that Sarah couldn't handle the Akedah and she died? Now, Avram could pass the Akedah and Sarah couldn't pass the Akedah? So, okay, one possible answer is that, a mother's love for her son is different than a father's love, and that's possible. But Rav Königsberg explained as follows. The Pasuk repeats, Shnei Chayei Sarah, these are the years of Sarah, because she died on time. That's when Sarah was supposed to die. The Satan knew this, and therefore he showed up and he appeared, in front of Sarah. And in the 2 seconds before she was supposed to die, he said, "Did you hear about the Akedah?" Boom, and she passed away, and that was it. Now, what does that help? Right? What does that try to ruin Sarah's reputation? What could he possibly stand to gain? She was supposed to die anyway. Kosh Baruch Hu took a neshama at the exact right time. Right? What is the Satan trying to do? Like ruin her rep? Right? So what Königsberg pointed out that he could get Avram to regret the Akedah. What happens? Right, again, we have the whole Midrashim about before the Akedah, where the Satan turned into an old man. He turned into a river. He tried to get Avram not to go to do the Akedah. So now what happens afterwards? Avram comes back to the Akedah, finds out that people say, well, Sarah heard about the Akedah and she passed away. Now Avram might think, well, it wasn't worth it. I survived all this stuff. I did all these. I survived, beat all these tests. I beat the Yetzer Hara so many times. And now he comes back and he thinks that Sarah passed away because of the Akedah. Maybe he would regret it. And the Gemara says in Kiddushin on Daf Mem that a person who regrets a mitzvah loses schar for that mitzvah. So that's what the Satan, he had one last trick up his sleeve. And that's what very often what the Satan does to us is that when we're fighting the Yetzer Hara and the Satan, right, and we beat him, right, and we don't go to that party that we got invited to or whatever. But then we hear about how amazing it was, and you regret not going, so you lose schar for not going, right? So the Satan very often attacks us at the beginning, but we have to make sure to look out for him at the end, right? We say at Maariv every night, "Right, remove the Satan from before us and from after us, right? The Satan me'acharenu, the Satan that comes and fights us afterwards, that's after we've already been successful and we let our guard down, and we'll talk about that also in a second. But when we let our guard down, the Yetzirah then comes and gets us after we've already accomplished. And that's sad because we did all the work and then we just regret it and we lose some of the schar, right, for overcoming that decision. So have faith in your decisions, right? Don't regret on missing out on these seemingly amazing life experiences. I promise you it's not worth it, whatever it is. And the decision was a good one, right? And don't regret the good decisions that you made. Okay, let's do let's see, four practical real life scenarios where the Yetzer Hara tries to get you, just to get some talkless real life real talk, and then we'll open it up, we'll finish off with the bracha, and then we'll open it up for questions and stuff. As we mentioned, the Yetzer Hara tries to get you all the time, literally all the time. Right, whether regardless of whether you've just beaten him or he's just beaten you, again, as we said in the Gemara Kiddushin, right? Rabbi Yitzchak says he renews itself against us every day, right? In every scenario, right? He's looking for small victories sometimes, right? Don't give it to him. And those small victories, those fights come all the time, right? Regardless of what's going on in your life, regardless of past history, right? He's constantly coming with some other tactic, right, to try and get us to skip up. Slip up. So some specific scenarios to look out for. Very often, immediately after a spiritual success, right, the Yetzer Hara is very strong. Right, like for example, like after a long night of learning, right, Shavuos night, right. There's an urge to take it easy, to yes, okay, sleep all next day. That's fine because you're up all night. But maybe skip your charusa or skip the shiur or parenthetically next Wednesday night, next Wednesday afternoon for you guys, Ishru Chag, that's a day after Yontif. All right, we have another class. All right, you're all showing up. Okay, no, we don't take Wednesdays off. Mitzvah Shem. Anyway, but that happens, right? Very often you accomplish all night Shavuos night, and then like the next day, like okay, and you kind of tired, you could sleep by all means, but very often the Yetzer Hara is very strong right after Yom Kippur. For example, right, we have an amazing Yom Kippur, right? But the 5 days before Sukkot, right, on Sukkot, very often there's a little bit of leeway where everybody's going to Six Flags, everybody's going to this place, everybody's going there. Okay, right, but watch out for that. The Yetzer Hara very often, right, is very strong right after a tremendous success. Similarly, after failures, right, the Yetzer Hara will do everything in his power to make sure you don't get up again. Right, if for whatever reason you fall, and everybody does, everybody fails, right? It happened to me today. Something specific I'm thinking about. It's probably not a big deal, whatever. But you get back up and you get back on the bike, right? Again, the Yetzer Hara is very good, right, at making you feel terrible about yourself, right? Don't let him do that, right? You know how like before an Avera, the Yetzer Hara is like, it's not so bad, and then after you do the Avera, all of a sudden he's like, oh my gosh, you apikores, what's the matter with you? Right? You're sick, you're horrible. That is the worst possible thing you could have done. But yeah, so look out for that, right? He's lying both times, right? It's first of all, it is at the beginning when he says it's not so bad, it is that bad, and after you do it, right, when he says it's oh the worst thing ever, it's also not the worst thing ever, right? He's lying in both directions. So just be aware of that, and just watch out for that, and don't fall. Don't let him trick you twice. Right? If you fall once, that's fine. Right? You fall down, you get back up. You know how the song goes. So just be aware for that. This is again an interesting one. The Yetzer Hara is specifically strong when you're not physically at your best, when you're either exhausted, hungry, you haven't worked out, and your body feels lazy, etc. So the Yetzer Hara is strong. Right? Again, as Jerry Seinfeld jokes, during the day, you are strong and cookies are weak. But at night, cookies are strong and you are weak. Okay, that's a great line, one of my favorites. And it's true of the Yetzer Hara as well, that very often when we're tired, we're hungry, when we're hangry, right, when we're just feeling lazy, we just want to be in bed, we're not feeling physically. So very often, right, be on your guard. The Yetzer Hara is extra strong for whatever reason, when we're not doing physically well. So it's important, again, working out and exercising, that's nishmartam, it keeps yourself healthy, and it keeps your mind healthy, and it keeps the Yetzer Hara at bay as well, right? If you're ever struggling, right, just get yourself moving, do some 10 minutes cardio, sometimes that'll help, that literally. Those are intertwined. And finally, the last one we'll mention is that he's really good at making a person, let's say, depressed and not being able to see the real you. And very often we don't see our own growth. And that's part because of human nature and how we look at ourselves, and it's part of the Yetzirah. And the truth is, obviously, everybody on this year has on this Zoom has grown tremendously, right? The Yetzirah makes it feel like you're not on a high level and make you be like, well, I can't do that yet. I'm not there yet. Don't listen to him, right? You are on a high level, right? And keep going. And you can accomplish whatever you think is too hard for you to accomplish. You can do it. Don't be ridiculous. Yetzirah is very good at making us feel depressed and making us feel bad about ourselves spiritually, right? So not very often, all the time, every single time a person is faced with a some Yetzirah that tells them that they're not able to accomplish, they're wrong, right? You are on that level, you just don't realize it. So don't listen to him, don't let him depress you. And if you don't remember, and if you're feeling like he's beating you in that area, just remember, right, and to play back this recording. And you are on that level, and you can accomplish it. Finally, a bracha, and again, we've quoted this Gemara as well before, but the Gemara Makos Daf Yud, right? But there actually Adam wrote to Leilich Molichonoso, right? The path down a person wants to go down, HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes him down that path. So we all here want to overcome our Yetzirah, and that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to do. He's going to give us Yad Yishmai for that, right? As the Gemara says, right? If Hashem wouldn't give us help, right, we wouldn't be able to overcome it. That's the Gemara in Kiddushin and Daf Lamed that we talked about earlier, or maybe Daf Mem. I don't remember. Either way, yeah, we're going to be able. Don't worry. Hashem is giving you Yad Yishmai. He knows how hard it is. And he knows exactly how much help you need, and so he's going to give you that help. And mitzvah shemo bal to overcome our yetzirahs and accomplish tremendous, tremendous things.
Amen. Rabbi, that was four.